On this episode of the AIE podcast,
some major movements are happening in our WoW guilds.
ASL sale! God, I do love a sale.
Beach party, Risa style.
Guild Wars 2 is getting elite.
And we have Gusty here, who is here to talk to us about the Summer of Love schedule of events.
All that and more coming up right now.
Bringing you the latest news from the AIE gaming community
from planet Earth and beyond.
This is the AIE podcast.
Welcome to episode 437 of the podcast celebrating you, the Alea Iacta Est gaming community. The DAI has been podcast. This is Tetsemi, and to my right and two states over is Mewcow.
Greetings, guildies. I hear pumpkin spice is already creeping into the shelf so we can manifest fall.
Exactly. And to my left and upstairs is McCullough.
Hey, folks, there are Dutch babies in the guild kitchen, including this morning's Dutch baby, which actually was a pumpkin chai spice and apple Dutch baby because I really want fall.
You got to manifest it.
We had fall stew last week, and yeah, we're trying really hard.
Worked real hard.
The 109 degrees or 40 plus Celsius are not helping, but we're trying. We're trying. But this week, we are not alone. We have a special guest, Gusty, who is here to talk to us about AIE and the Summer of Love. Welcome, Gusty.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to jump into, let's see. What are we doing? Are we going around the room? We're going to go around the room.
Yeah, let's go around the room.
All right. So let's start with Gusty. Gusty, I know you've already participated in two Summer of Love events. So what are you up to?
Well, my son Duskmire and I went to see the new Jurassic Park movie last weekend, and it was okay. It was, you know, dinos. Nothing outstanding. Yeah, and we were going to either dinos or Superman, and we're going to get to Superman. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's on the agenda.
As long as you don't think about the science in the dinosaur movie, you're fine. Just don't think.
Yeah. It was good, solid what you go for. Nothing groundbreaking, which I kind of hear Superman is. So looking forward to that.
It's so, yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so, oh, I can't. Yeah, it's great.
Yep. So also took my car in for service and got a really good deal and drove out with a new car. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Yay. That's awesome. Adult fun.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Being an adult's hard.
Yes. Yeah.
It is hard. Now I'm terrified to drive because I don't want any scratches.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So now we're trying to decide what to name it, because you got to name a car.
Oh, of course. Oh,
always. And computers as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right.
And, so in-game, you want to hear, the in-game stuff is coming later, though, right?
Yeah.
We want to know what you've been doing, not what you will be doing.
Yeah.
So what I did do, I just finished up our second event of Summer of Love, which was Fate with Lithu. And that is a really crazy TTRPG where it's kind of collective storytelling. You get a story sheet with basic facts, a few details about your character, and everybody rolls to decide who gets what. And then as the DM sort of guides you through the process and says, okay, here's what you see. Now what do you want to do? And you have certain attributes that you're better at and less good at that you can try, like being flashy or careful or forceful or sneaky. There's a couple more. And so you roll on that, and then for whether you succeed in what you're attempting and how well you do at that role, the DM then tells you, okay, well, you were trying for this, but here's what you got. So the story moves very quickly, and it's really funny with a good DM, which Lithu is. And then the night before that was Duskmire doing one, a solar punk homebrew that Duskmar created using Star Wars 5e characters. So I was playing, I was playing a robot named Greenwall.
Oh, that's amazing.
Who was really, she had these big punchy fists. And it was called, we have a bad feeling about this. So a small child reported to some people that they were getting a bad feeling walking past a building. And then it turned out that the kid was being tested for basically the Force. It's not quite the Force because it's a homebrew. So they went, oh, there probably is something going on there. So we get sent in. And so there was a Jawa and Greenwall, my droid, and I'm blanking on the other folks, but one of them got mind controlled by something. And then the best quote of the evening was, "You now feel so evil, you just started speaking British."
Oh, very nice.
Because all the imps speak British.
Yep. I understood that reference.
So, so now, tomorrow we're going to have Lore Night with Anira, which I think this is the third one we've done. People, storytellers, bring a 5 to 10 minute, can be lore about WoW, can it be your character's backstory. You can be investigating, you know, something special. I'm going to be reading a story from the World of Warcraft, like Tales. Mm-hmm. Children's, not really children's tales, but there's a goblin one about the goblin boogeyman that I'm going to read. So I've been practicing my goblin accent. We'll see how well I do.
And we'll go into all that during the.
Oh, I'm sorry.
FBI. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. Cool. Well, Makala, what have you been up to?
Going crazy.
Mm.
All right. So we've been doing lots of gaming of the ricey dolly of the dicey roly variety. Let's see. We are at end game on our Call of Cthulhu game.
Yes.
And things
going
are
interesting.
How long has this game been going?
A year, though we did take 3 weeks off during the holiday season or the Halloween season for a one shot, which never is a one shot.
Nope.
And then we took eight weeks off for the Christmas special. So I think it is like it's going to end up being like 33-34 sessions, but we started literally a year ago on Thursday.
Yeah. Yep.
And things are getting dark.
But we're surviving.
But two of us will not be. We know that. So basically, we have spent the last few weeks trapped in memories. And like in a world created from the memories of the evil doctor that we, one of our allies kind of pulled threads to weave a tapestry so we could try to stop the evil doctor. And now we are kind of at the end of it. We have been told that we have four different paths. One is going to the Dark Tower, basically, to fight directly. And if we take that path, two of us have to stay back to keep the portal open so the others can get home and they will perish. The second path, is we can be stuck basically in a perfect world, a perfect timeline, but the rest of the world will burn. The third is we will kind of be sentinels holding the darkness at bay. One of us can go back to reality, but as soon as the last person that remembers us dies, then the darkness wins or total submission.
Yep.
So we clearly took the first path to try to fight this thing.
Yeah.
And we
and the two that stay behind aren't going to die. They're just stuck there.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So.
But they'll eventually die, but they'll just live out their existence. Or,
exactly.
You know, another campaign to rescue them. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah. But evidently our characters have tried this many, many times, and this is the last attempt.
Yeah. It's been Groundhog Day, and apparently we've done this hundreds of times, and this is the final push.
The final push. So yeah, sometimes a reminder that this is a very dark setting. A very, very dark system. But fun. But fun. So we got through our last I think there's three challenges to get to the end game, and we got through our first one.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we've been doing. You want to talk about Rise or you want me to?
No, you talk about Rise. You're proud mama.
So I am. So yesterday we started an at-home campaign with, as Gusty, something this you can attest to, with our child DMing. And it came up, our kiddo's childhood best friend's mom and her wife texted me the other day, and they're like, hey, so we just started rolled up characters to play D&D with the kids. And of course, we thought about you. So we're thinking, would you guys be interested in playing with us? So we started a chat, and Rye said, yeah, I'd love to DM. So it's Ted and I, April and Tracy, who are Maddie's moms. Maddie, who's Rye's childhood best friends. Literally, they live next door. These two, like, they were like friends when they were like 1 year old. Like, and then her fiance. So we started that. So yesterday we rolled up characters, and it's a completely homebrew world. Homebrew, you know, deities, geography, all of it. And we're hoping to get together at least once a month. But yeah, that's like the proud mama moment. They're telling all about our world, all about their world. And I'm sitting in the kitchen getting the pizzas prepped. Because of course, D&D at our house involves full meals. And you know, Ted just whispers to me, how proud are you right now? I'm like, very.
Yeah. She's a good storyteller.
Yes. And then we took our friends to our favorite local gaming shop, where they were actually doing a D&D charity event day, where our friend Larkin, who was Ozarin in the guild for a long time, actually had flown in from Georgia, and she had stayed with us Friday night, and we spoiled her, did a bunch of stuff that you can only do, you know, all her favorite places, and then we left her in somebody else's hands yesterday afternoon to go to the gaming shop, which is Silver Dragon. If you're in Phoenix, it's a great gaming shop to play. So we dropped by there, got dice, and Gio showed our friends a little more of just the D&D community.
And the cool thing was the event that they were running, since it was a charity, you could donate to the charity and force the DM to re-roll their rolls.
Oh, that's the best.
So you can mess with the DMs.
And it's a really amazing charity. So it's Phoenix Children's Hospital.
And yes, Mia, we did go to Chino's, of course.
Before. Yes. And Matt's Big Breakfast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We had
standard stuff.
Exactly. You come here, you eat well. You eat at our house, Chino's, Matt's, the usual.
Yep.
All right. What else?
That's about it, yeah.
All right. And I'll talk about the Sunday game. Mew, what have you been up to?
Oh, let's see. So, yeah, one of the toys I was playing with, as I'm chatting in the chat, is I just put up a new, probably can't see it too well. Now it's too bright. It's a weather station. Let's see if I keep.
Oh, nice. There you go.
I started seeing it. Yep. So this is a live weather station in the backyard, because I've always wondered of like looking at the temperatures, and I'm like, it doesn't seem like it's that hot in my backyard. So now I actually have a thing telling me.
It always does to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Like you can see the, you know, the lot. Oh, nope. I can't figure it. There you go.
Humidity.
That's the live humidity. It just dropped up by a point. So yeah, it's just kind of, you know, a neat little toys. We went ahead and mounted that on the pirate ship because it was a nice spot.
Oh, nice.
Of course
for
you
it.
Did.
Yeah.
Yep. And, the shed is also, talking about the adult fun, the shed is up. We've been stuffing stuff in there. We have a patio again. We put the monster mint plant out there. So a while back, we got one of those indoor hydroponics things for herbs and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you're supposed to transport that out to a planter or, you know, out in the soil somewhere. And You know, I think, you know, Mrs. Mew is just really into just watching these things monster grow inside the house.
Yep.
which I think is actually a thing in Korea.
Yeah.
Oh. Like they actually do that decoratively, like just have a plant just grow a monster in the corner somewhere just because it's kind of interesting looking. But so, yeah, the latest one. So like a month or so ago, we transferred the basils out, and the basils are loving life. The dill did not do well. The dill just crumbled outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the basils are just loving where they are out there. The sunflower, of course, is happy in the sun. And we moved the mint out there, and it's perking up. It's actually starting to grow up because it was dwarfing all the other plants in the little hydroponics. Like you just saw this greenery in the corner and like, oh, there are other plants here as you kind of like peel through the mint. So just fun stuff there. And you know, just doing, you know, it's summer, so we got the kiddo at home. We're trying to do, you know, fun stuff and run around. And we did get to the last day of the Austin Ice Cream Museum. They had to close.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. It was a happy, sad kind of thing. They've been there for about 4 years. They moved in during the pandemic and probably had really great rent. So the expensive mall was like, we would like that expensive spot back, please. So I think that they probably gave them an offer they had to refuse.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is we drove up, it was the last day, and they were already painting over the sign on two of the walls. I'm like, dude, the corpse isn't even a corpse yet. Like, give it a second. But luckily we were able to find, you know, one of the walls wasn't painted over yet, so it still had the ice cream museum stuff. So we took a selfie there, but it was kind of cool. Going through the ice cream museum, it's in a few other places. I think it's mostly up in like the Northwest. I think there's one in Miami, and you know that they had the one in Austin. You just kind of go through, and there's, you know, ice cream history, and then there's just fun, you know, Instagram moments all throughout, and of course ice cream. Like, they just
amazing. Well,
however much ice cream you want, you just go up. They had a their signature flavor was pink vanilla. Because the whole museum was just bright pink. Like, it was, and that could have also been why this fancy mall wanted to get rid of this, probably to them, an eyesore. Because it was a bright pink, just like it was iconic. Like, you saw it from everywhere. So they were, like I said, they could not wait to paint over that pink with just bland white.
Wait till they hear from customers like, oh, we came here for ice cream. I guess we'll leave now.
No, that's the thing. Apparently a high end restaurant was already waiting to move in. So,
probably agreed to pay higher rent and all that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So what this is, it's a mall called The Domain, and it is a giant out, like it's not only is it mall stuff, but all the big tech companies live there too. So it used to be the IBM campus. IBM used to have this huge sprawling campus because it was right next to UT, and that's where they did a lot of their research way back in the day. That's why this was called Silicon Hills, was because of IBM. And they've been slowly selling off all that land, and The Domain is this giant sprawling mall that is like you can imagine Central Park, but it's mall.
Okay. It's
just huge. But like, Indeed has a building there, Home Away or whatever is there. There's like a bunch of I want to say, is it Airbnb or the competitor to Airbnb? I think
Vrbo.
Yeah, Vrbo is there. It's this huge mall that we, you know, we like to visit when we can. But one of the main reasons why we went there was because of the ice cream museum. So we have, you know, less of an excuse to go. But it's this, you know, it was a neat place. It had, we would hit the ice cream museum, walk over to the Lush, and you know, Mrs. Mew would like to go through the Lush and get all the fun stuff for the bath bombs, and there's an Apple store across the street, that sort of thing. So, but yeah, and because it has not been completely miserable, just mostly miserable, we've been able to go out into the world. Although yesterday Mrs. Mew learned not to walk 5 minutes from that library to the farmer's market without covering. She's now bright red.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. I know that one.
But game-wise, I've actually been doing a lot of just, you know, more solo stuff. My heroic raid team has kind of gotten bored of, you know, trying to keep ourselves busy. So we like Wednesday, we kind of did some stuff. And then Thursday, like, you know, why don't we just take a break? So now I think we're sort of officially like we used to have a poll every week saying, okay, what do you want to do this week? Do you want to try Heroic Green? No one wants to do Heroic anymore. Like they're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do, you know, baby alts raid? No. Do you want to do achievements? Well, that's what we were doing for a long time was achievements, runs, because you can get all the
transmog.
The transmog is a higher rate as well as the mounts for the collector's bounty. And of course, you have the little goblins, the treasure goblins that pop out whenever you kill a boss, which is now interesting in the goblin area, the Undermine, because even the rare bosses, the little rares that are everywhere,
right?
They now almost always will spawn a goblin portal. So,
if you want to just clear, like, get all the transmog options, mm-hmm. spend all day once,
literally just bouncing around
Undermine. Yeah, it's constant. It's constant there
because whenever there is something that's considered a boss that has a chance to, and I think that they must have upped it because we're nearing the end. They must have upped the chance to almost like 100%, because it seems like you kill any rare and poof, there's a portal.
Nice.
It seemed as though it was doing that a week or so ago too.
Yeah. Makes sense. They try to spin it up a little bit near the end, but
yeah. Well, with 11.2 coming soon. Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, same thing over in, Final Fantasy. We'll talk about a bit of that in the news, but I've kind of just been hanging out in the Gold Saucer and, you know, getting really easy tombstones. So
very nice.
Yeah. But that's about it. Like, you know, I still occasionally play Descendant First Descendant. I always get those. It's right. Either First or Final. I think it's First. TFD. Just everyone calls it TFD. It's easier. Still making interesting content. Like, it still feels more fun than Destiny right now to play that game. Like, there's just, I don't know. Destiny is fun in its own right, but it just feels clunky compared to how lean TFD is. And not to mention the variety of characters. Like in Destiny, you have the three archetypes,
right,
and then they have different archetypes inside of them. Just, I don't know, just something about the way a TFD does it just feels more comfier. It's easier to get in and out, whereas Destiny feels like you have to get a whole big thing and you have to get a group together if you want to do anything interesting.
Kind of like EverQuest to WoW. Yep.
Oh, God.
Pretty much. Yeah, you have to have a group to do almost anything in Destiny. And whereas TFD has a really good matchmaking system so that you can, you know, run through stuff with complete strangers and it still works pretty well.
Nice.
Nice. But what have you been up to, Ted?
So our Sunday TTRPG, we are doing Cyberpunk, and it's based on the D100 Call of Cthulhu style for skills, and then we borrowed the talent trees from Star Wars, the Star Wars RPG. So we're doing a mix of both. So it's really fun. And it's a homebrew world set, 50 years after the cataclysm?
80 years. 80 years after.
Okay. Yeah, since the old civilization collapsed and we're living in a world run by mega corporations who've all carved out their own part of the thing. And, you know, if you're not working for the mega corporations, then you're having to make, oh, wait, that's the real world. Darn it. Sorry. What?
Yeah, honey, you're switching, you know.
Yeah. No, but it's fun. Again. I'm playing a tech shaman who deals with the cross of technology and technology and the spirit or the mystic, because they're with the event that happened 80 years ago, there's some, it was a collapse of the veil. And so now the veil is leaking into technology. And so you have hybrid constructs that are both, and that's where his area of focus is. But right now we are currently on a resort island, much like Risa. And, we are, sent to get a bootleg recording back from a mega recording star, you know, think like Taylor Swift level recording star. And the
CD, or is it actual music?
It's a dream. It's called a dream recording. So it's the music and the emotion recorded together so that when you do the dream feed, you feel not only hear the music, but you feel the emotions of the singer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, then they go through an amp up. Oh, we want this more sad, or we want this more cheerful.
Yeah, more emo, more poppy, more happy.
But apparently this singer sent a message to her, you know, the company that owns her contract, and said, basically, I've got a recording. I'm going to release it unless you let me out of my contract, I think is essentially what it came down to. And so we've been sent to get that recording back before anything happens. And of course, it's the night of the big concert, so we have to kind of get it before everything happens, because we think that she's going to release it during the concert, which would have the biggest impact because, of course, everybody's watching her.
Yeah.
So, but it's fun. We're having a blast in that. I'm still customizing the Roll 20 spreadsheet for it and having fun with that. And in video games, I have finished Clair Obscur Expedition 33. Amazing game. If you like that style, the fights are turn-based, but you do have to be able to parry or dodge the blows coming from the enemy mobs. But it's very rewarding. Like, if you get a group parry of an effect that was coming at the group, your whole party gets to return that damage to the mob that sent it over. It's very fluid. It's very good. And the story and the music are amazing. So don't spoil yourself and go look up spoilers if you like it. It's on Xbox Game Pass, you know, for PC or for the Xbox. Hop on, try it. It's well worth the time. So that's where I've been playing. And it has weird parallels to our Call of Cthulhu campaign. Yes. that McCullough mentioned. So yeah. So the two of us that have played through the game and seen the ending of Clair Obscur.
Oh, yeah, they're geeking, like, out. It's so, yeah, cute.
Well, the thing is our GM, Mike, has this inadvertent ability to always parallel something that's either happening in a game or a movie or a TV show, like completely accidentally, like, oh, this is the plot of this. And he doesn't even realize he's doing it. It's great.
Yeah, so. It'll literally be like, you know, we'll have a game and then we'll sit down to watch the episode of, you know, Bad Batch. I'm like, oh,
we just did that.
We'll sit down to watch it.
Yeah.
And
that's the
love
collective,
that show.
The collective consciousness thing, like how there's
exactly
sometimes it seems like there's a bunch of movies that all have the same theme come out all at once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Bug's Life and what was the other one? Ants?
That was the ant one.
Ants?
Ants. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. But enough about us. It is time to jump into the Summer of Love and this week's guild news. So, Gusty, let me play the bumper and then we'll get into it.
AIE news.
All right. Gusty, what is going on in WoW for Summer of Love?
All right, for Summer of Love, as I mentioned before, we've done our two TTRPGs, starting things off with that excitement, they were lots of fun. Then tomorrow will be Lore Night with Anira, and people have a story that they will read. I think I covered enough of that's understanding. They're about 10 minutes long, and anyone who wants to can listen in Discord. And I encourage you, if you're, you know, you can listen in while you're playing WoW or other games, running around and doing stuff. The people who are telling the stories, we actually go to different locations around World of Warcraft that are pertinent to whatever we're talking about. So that adds a little bit of, you know, interestingness. So there's one about Arthas and Invincible. And so we, you know, go to Invincible's gravesite, which actually exists. So that's cool. Then on Tuesday, we had a switch of activities, and that is going to be Kitty Agro is going to be doing carries for people who sign up to get them heroic Gallywix kills for the Ahead of the Curve achievement, which is very nice. So starts at 9
And if anyone's interested, it's a nice to get that achievement for you. Just sign up in Discord and they'll get as many people as they can in the time available. I think they can bring like three. We tested it out last week, three per run. So it should go pretty fast.
Very nice.
That's Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we're doing Raisin Bran, which is we're just going to run Delves. And we're going to, I'm not having people sign up in advance. I'm just going to ask in guild chat. So I do not know how many we're going to do. And we're going to keep a tally of how many times he says, don't stand there.
Yeah.
That's just going to be a kind of fun thing. Thursday, we're going to encourage people to run, to create one of those, create a new character, and we're going to run a race. It will be Earthen because they're the new race right now. And if we can get groups from both the Alliance and the Horde, we'll create the Earthen in Dornegal, and then the Horde faction will run from Orgrimmar to Stormwind, and this Alliance faction will run from Stormwind to Orgrimmar, and we'll see who gets there first. We never know how many people are going to turn out for this, but hopefully. And then Friday, Trial of Style, the my favorite holiday in WoW, is back. You queue into an instance. It takes about 5 minutes. You sign up. You can have a party or get random people come in. So whoever wants to join in, you get a theme. And then you have, I think it's 3 minutes to create a transmog outfit that fits that team. And then the people who are participating get pulled up two by two onto the stage. And then somebody gets first, second, and third place. And you get some, one of the categories is mismatch mayhem. There's also a working class something. Then they have, you know, spooky and just a lot of, they change the categories every couple of years. So I haven't checked to see if there's a new one this year. But it's always fun to see what people come up with. If you have an all guild group, then you can kind of fudge it by deciding who you're going to vote for. So everyone gets a first place thing, nice. Which is good. If not, then we go legit roles. But it's always a good time, and it's just fun to see the creativity of both our AIE members and other folks. And then, of course, that would be on Thursday, Friday. Oh gosh, I am blanking on the Friday thing.
Oh, that's Trial of Style.
That was Friday.
That is the Trial of Style. Okay, so yeah, Saturday. Is Remembrance Day, which we all know what happens there. We meet at the Shrine of the Fallen, and no weapons, and you can, if balloons are encouraged, we will have Alliance and Horde folks there, and we remember those who we have lost in the past year, and anyone is invited to speak if it's a personal person or someone in guild. And then we have a procession to the back gates of Orgrimmar. We don't go in Orgrimmar anymore because that way the Alliance can take part. And then we just have fireworks and toys and things that looks like a big barbecue right out by the back gates, and celebrate how great it is to be part of AIE.
Awesome. Thanks.
And I did want to also mention for the Raising Brand part, for those that are still actively playing, it's actually a good idea to get into a delving group because the best in slot belt comes off of delves right now, and you have to do several.
You have to power it up, yeah.
Yep, you have to get, you have to the first do a delve to get the belt, then you have to do, he'll give you another quest to then power it up, and then power it up, and then power it up. So I think it's like a 701? I think is the max level right now, or 702, somewhere around there.
Mine isn't maxed yet, so, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, like to do that, you probably want a group to burn through those. You can do it as a level one, tier one delve if you really want to, but, you know, it'll go fast as a group. And of course, if you want to get this season's rewards for doing the boss, the pit master or whatever he is, you have to, you know, do that before the end of the season, which is coming up.
Yep.
Coming up too.
All right. And Gildy, what?
And then also, sorry.
No, go ahead, Heth.
No, go.
What is going on with the co-guilds?
The co-guilds. Officer Fez, I want to give him credit for doing this. Yeah, he did a lot of work to research how many people are in each of our guilds. And what we've known for some time is that, we've had people leaving and not as many coming in. So players have been complaining that, oh, gee, it seems so quiet in here. I mean, people are in chat, but when I'm in my guild, it just seems really empty. So for a while, we were trying to change the co-guild every month to kind of spread getting new people in. But Fez took a look and we decided, maybe it's time that to concentrate people in a fewer number of guilds. Then they'll see more people around. It also is going to be pertinent to the new player housing that is coming.
And the neighborhoods.
In the neighborhoods, the creation of neighborhoods. To be in the same guild, you want to do that for your neighborhood on whichever character you determine is, your main, because everybody's going to be in that neighborhood. So to allow that to happen, we are going to be moving all of the people in Amicitia, which is Virtus is our first alliance guild. Amicitia was the second. And there is room to have everybody in Amicitia move over to Virtus and be under the cap. It'll be a little close. We'll open it again when we get over that cap. So we're going to actually have a guild event after Summer of Love of Loot the Guild Bank for Amicitia. Great. Take anything you want and then G-quit. Just to have, so that we don't kick them, just like we're all going to collect and we'll boot anyone who isn't around, and then everyone's going to move. The other co-guilds, we will be keeping Salus, Audacia, Fortuna, Pondera, and Libertas.
Fortuna.
We'll be closing.
Yep.
Fortuna for the tuna. Yes. And this was based on player numbers active in the past year. So we'll be closing Comitas, Dignitas, Fidelis, Gravitas, and Verendus. And if people are not around, they will be kicked. We're giving people a week to transfer their, and we're going to open up all five of the keeping co-guilds for that week. So you can pick which one you want to go to. After that, it'll be one that we'll have until they get near the cap, and then we'll move to the next one rather than the trading the cold guilds, because we want to get them up in stats. And people are, once again, if you're in one of those cold guilds that's going to be shuttered, loot the guild bank.
Yep.
They will still exist. Yep. They will still exist. We can open them at any time. Officers will still have characters in there. If people are super adamant that they will not leave their guild, we're not going to kick them, but there won't be anything really going on. Probably. Well, we don't want to force people into stuff if they don't.
Yeah. Keep in mind that you want to go to the guild like with the friends that you want to be in the neighborhood with when you get your player house.
Yeah.
Yes.
So get with your friends saying, hey, where are you going?
Whoever you consider your current main to be, go with them. And we're happy once we close down the guilds, we can move you around to any of the other guilds that you choose. We know there's going to be some activity either LFO in Discord or on whatever character you log in and move to. Just ask for officers' help in there. And we can... I change people around constantly, so it's not a problem at all. We want it to go smoothly. We want everyone to be happy and enjoy their player housing.
Yep. And we are
where your great team is.
Yeah. And we are not kicking any of the emeritus people or anyone that's past those. Like we said, we're keeping the guilds alive. They'll still be in the guild. So just in case anyone was worried about that, we're not removing them.
Correct.
It's still Remembrance Day and all that.
Will remain there. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're not going to go doing. We're waiting a week. We're not going to do like the day after Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone had kind of floated that, and then we were like,
let's not do that. Like, yeah.
Can we not G-kick dozens of people the day after Remembrance Day? Yeah. So, but we are going to, reiterate that it's coming to give people time to, figure out where they want to go. And we're happy to move people if they change their mind about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that update.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And in WoW Classic, Mists of Pandaria is out. I'm having flashbacks. Seema and
me too. Yeah, I seem to remember this.
Me too.
Seema and Lucy are pet battling, and there are a few others in and playing again. Hardcore remains at about 3 to 4 active people, and everyone is enjoying that as well. The Anniversary Classic is quiet, but there are a few folks that are still popping in there as well. And Lucy is going to plan to walk in Miss Pandaria on the 2nd for Remembrance Day in case anyone is in Classic.
Yay. I was over there. You can get a mount if you do the opening quests in it's not remix. It's the, Mr. Pandaria Classic pre-something.
Yeah.
Preview is what's up right now. And it's a beautiful mount, and it's in WoW, right? A retail WoW.
Yeah, that was also MOP is when I was still working for Blizzard. So,
yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A little nostalgia there, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And Seema says that she has the fever, and she actually invited a few alts over there tonight.
Nice.
So it looks like it's getting some action over there.
Yep.
Speaking of flashbacks to Blizzard, in SWTOR, because Blizzard had a SWTOR guild, looks like the group there is going to be doing a special version of Mandatory Fun Night at 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night, as well as a Star Wars trivia game night on Friday night. They'll do the traditional walk in the Jurin Mountains on Alderaan for Remembrance.
Awesome. And in ESO news, save up to 75% on ESO Standard Edition during the PlayStation Summer Sale. Update 47, titled Feast of Shadows, will be released on August 18th for PC and Mac, and September 3rd for PlayStation and Xbox. The updates will introduce a new dungeon pack and the other content as part of the Season of the Worm Cult storyline.
And in Final Fantasy XIV, the next major patch will release on August 5th with a new Alliance raid, new relic upgrades, and the final main story quest chapter for the Dawn Trail expansion. I always want to say Dawnfall. The next two, after that, the next two patches will be set up for the 8.0 game. Moogle tombstones are currently active until the patch, so the gold saucer gates give around 4 each every 20 minutes, which is a very easy way to collect them.
Yep, that's what I've been doing. You just kind of camp there, and every 20 minutes you get a little ding, and there's a gate to run over, and the gates are fun. They're varied. The leap of faith is challenging it sometimes, because they have special maps where you're supposed to do the little platforming, and it's quite a challenge. If you just participate, you'll get tombstones. If you win, you get 4. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
All right. And of course, you don't have to do gold saucer if you want tombstones. You can do regular dungeon. Go to the Moogle. He'll tell you, do this dungeon or do this raid or whatever, and I'll give you Moogle tombstones. So
very cool.
Really easy. Over in STO, there apparently is going to be a story update on July 29th. Also, starting July 29th from 8 a.m. Pacific to August 19th at 12 p.m. Pacific, on PC at least, you can create a new temporal agent character. And this is in the original series, or TOS.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is you create it and you start in the TOS era, and it's actually really well done. It has all the special effects and sounds, and it's like it seems like you're playing TOS. And then for reasons, then you have a way of joining the main game that's currently in wherever we call the current future.
Yeah.
It's a neat if you haven't done it yet and you have access, and STO is technically free. I think you don't have to pay for the subscription. So, So if you are a big fan of TOS, I highly recommend creating a temporal agent character. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a very good story.
And it gives you bonuses for your account. So it's great all around. And also, just as a quick reminder, you only have a few days left. The Lao Lunat Festival, which is also known as the Ryza Beach Party, ends on July 30th. So if you want to get in on that, get in there now. There's a new ship this year, and it's kind of like, I guess, Star Wars' version of the Gold Saucer. It's just a bunch of silly games to run around and do on the Party Island.
All right, and in Guild Wars 2 news, train new elite specializations and adventure on the magical island of Castora when the expansion launches on October 28th. 9 new elite specs, devs will be detailing them over time. Mesmer, Ranger, and Guardian, which will bring Troubadour, Gale Shot, and Luminary.
Yeah, that's what they have out there so far. And then I guess the remaining six they're going to dole out, you know,
yeah,
tease it along the way.
Cool. And in Lord of the Rings, the Remembrance Day ceremony, they will be meeting at their normal spot on the hill above the Prancing Pony, and they can use the summoning horn if people want or need help finding their way up there. And then they will run some stuff after the Remembrance Day ceremony. But with that, we are back to Gusty. Is there anything else for Remembrance Day or the Summer of Love that you wanted to talk about before we close out?
I think we covered it pretty well.
Awesome.
All right. Well,
do you think I missed anything?
I don't think you missed anything.
It's been a really busy couple of days, let me tell you.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. We appreciate you coming on and chatting and giving everybody the updates on stuff.
Yep. All right. Well, that is our show for tonight. Oh, just a reminder, Taco in SOTOR is looking for a DPS, I believe, and they started about 15 minutes ago. So if you are interested in helping them out, double check. Yep, a DPS to fill in for us tonight. So it's on the imp side. So if you're available and you're listening to us, hop on over and help them out. But that is our show for tonight. While the chat room begins suggesting show titles, we do want to thank Gusty. Yay for joining us. Thank you, Gusty.
Thank you all.
Always a pleasure.
And if you have a question or comment about our show, you can email us at podcast@aie-guild.org. You can find us on the AIE Discord and Blue Sky. Look for aiepodcast.bsky.social. We record live with video every once a month about that. On Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and then Arizona stays put. We are the ones that wander around. It's really confusing. But you can join us in the chat room and play along on our website, which is ae-guild.org, and look for the podcast live stream. You can look for the link at our Discord server there as well. And for past episodes, so you can see them on the YouTube channel, look for the AIE podcast. Our theme was composed by the amazing Andrew Allen. Find him at Keys with Soul.
I try to read my stuff ahead of time. All right. And if you feel like trying your hand at making a segment, please go ahead and record that. We ask between 90 and 120 seconds. Or if you feel like, you know, wanting to come on the show to talk about stuff, hit us up on the AIE podcast channel on Discord. We would love to have you.
Yep.
All right. And next time, let's see, that's going to be what, end of August, roughly?
Yep, last Sunday of August.
Last Sunday of August. We will wrangle a guest and see if we can get somebody to come on and talk about what we're doing in one of the many AIE games. So, until then, AIE.
This is Gusty Tail.
This is Tatsemi.
This is Mewcow.
This is Makala.
And this has been the AIE Podcast.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.